Welcome back to Bull Droppings, everybody. I'm Josh McSwain here with my co-host, AJ Torres. And today we are going to be giving you our thoughts on the week that was. Well, not for long, because I think we told you so on that one. Going to be looking ahead to week 8 a little bit.
Unfortunately,
I'm not sure how much different things are going to look in week 8 as compared to week 7. Let's just be real now. And then we're going to get into the trade deadline stuff. Yeah, that's more interesting. Let's be honest.
Agreed.
So, yeah, we're going to jump back to week 7 just for a minute here. It was a blowout like everybody expected. We had a 5-0 lead. Yeah, for like a minute or two. Just after
that, we didn't
even
think it would get that, honestly. I mean, it's like after like mid through the second quarter, it's like I didn't even think the first quarter was going to be interesting. I just thought that this was going to be a blowout and just like a shake your head all game long. But there was a time where it's just kind of like, hey, Cardinals, are you okay? This shouldn't be happening right now.
No, it did not. But, yeah, you look at the overall numbers from this game, the offense was dismal. David Johnson led with 25 yards on the ground, 7 carries. Davis Mills, 23 of 32 for 135 yards. And, yeah. Well, DeAndre Hopkins caught a touchdown pass in the game. I don't think anybody's surprised, but he actually was not the leading receiver. Leading receiver was newly acquired Zach Ertz, who had 66 yards. So this was not, you know, quite as bad as the Bills game, though that's not saying a whole heck of a lot. I'm just saying it could have been a lot worse than it was. You're just looking at the gap of talent that existed between these two teams. And you look at Brandon Cooks. He had 5 catches for 21 yards. So if you're playing in a PPR league with him, he's still paying off a little bit for you.
For a late draft
pick,
absolutely.
Nico Collins led with 28 receiving yards. It's good to see him back in action. The fact he led the team, that's somewhat of a positive, I guess. I guess with his 22-yard reception, it shows that he might be able to make some plays, but obviously, this team is just so discombobulated right now.
Yep.
They're just trying to get something together and just like testing a lot of guys. So many guys are just trying to show what they got. That's the bottom line. And we all kind of knew this going in.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was a hard, hard battle. And, I mean, if you think about it, it's just Arizona defense, it's better than what was last year. There's concerns about the offensive line, but sure enough, this defense isn't going to know how to handle anything. I mean, Lonnie Johnson had that interception, but still, you don't think of Lonnie Johnson getting that pick and him actually having a really good game. Lead the team in tackles as well. We had DeMarcus Walker get a sack, 2 tackles for loss. We had a Grenard with 3 tackles, 2 sacks. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you look at the scoreboard, you look at the offense, and unfortunately, players like that just don't get the justice. It's terrible to me. It really is. What's the highlight of the game? Those sacks, Fairbairn getting a 53-yard field goal, the punter averaging 49.1 yards a punt, long of 69 with 2 inside the 20. The fact that those are our important players of the game, it's sad.
Sure is. Yeah, Johnston's getting quite a bit of practice this year. Let's be fair on that one. But yeah, Grenard, I've been impressed with his play so far this year. I think he's been pretty good. He's got 6 sacks so far. The 24-year-old out of Florida, I think he has carved himself a spot on this team for a long time.
Well, we'll see, because when we say long time, just remember, you need to be a good franchise in order to keep your guy for a long time. That's not saying, hey, the money. That's not saying his personal. Just remember, you got to be a good organization, and you're going to have to treat your guys well. And from what I'm hearing, that's probably not the case right now. We got to hold off on that. Is he going to be a good player? Yeah. But will he be here for a long time? That I highly doubt right now with everything going on. I hate to say it, but I think you and I could agree by saying we came into this year of Texans talk, then going into Bull Drop and saying we are going into a podcast series of an absolute friggin' circus.
Yeah, circus might be putting it lightly, but I feel what
other word could we
there.
Use with it being, well, PG-13? And there's a lot of times where I've had to go with a not safe for work rant, but I've said my piece to you off camera.
Right. Well, while we're camping out on this game, I guess we can address the J.J. Watt situation. Obviously, former Texan legend. Well, I guess he always will be, even though he's not currently in battle red and steel blue. But yeah, he had another shoulder injury. It's going to sideline him for the rest of the year. I was hoping he might be part of a glorious run with the Cardinals this year, and well, it's not happening anymore.
You know, if by any chance the Cardinals do win it all, he does deserve that ring just like everybody else, because if you look if you look at some of the guys that just go into an organization, and that's why Mark Ingram came into this establishment, which we'll get to him later in the show. But if you just look at JJ, where he's just nails, and there's not too many guys that work harder than JJ Watt. I think he overworks himself. And the fact that there's now a concern with JJ, this is injury number what now? And
three. I think it might be the third time where he's been out for the season because of an injury.
Well, just injuries in general. May not sideline for good, but
it's well, no, just for the rest of the season.
Yeah. There's just been too many injuries to that guy. And after this year, it's like, hey, you're going to have your number if, well, it's kind of like a mutual thing. And he may deny it based on what is going on. But is there a chance that he may hang it up? Or do you think he's going to want to try and redeem himself and keep going the 17 weeks plus?
You know, that's a really good question.
I mean, if the Cardinals win it all this year, and I mean, I understand it's a big if, but it's like you were a part of that team. You coach those new guys that need identity, like Isaiah Simmons, those new guys that are on the defensive front seven. You are a big part of that unit, and what you bring to an organization is what many players, I mean, let's just be real, at the defensive front position, J.J. Watt will forget things that many players will never know. If he wins that ring and he retires, I mean, my heart goes out to him. It really does.
Well, if he does that, at least he goes out on top. I don't think anybody would mind that, because around the league, he's obviously known as one of the really great guys. And
absolutely.
It's just, I think a lot of people were rooting for him, but if you are going to look at his current contract right here, yeah, it looks like
he could still retire and just not take the money.
Yeah, that's obviously true. Looked like his deal with the Cardinals was for 2 years, and he'll be a free agent after the 2022 season. So, I guess I was just thinking, yeah, about that whole ring thing. Obviously, he wouldn't be able to just bolt away from Arizona immediately, unless they were to cut him, which I doubt they would because there'd be a lot of dead cap in that scenario.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he doesn't win with the Cardinals this year or next, he potentially could bounce somewhere else. He'd be 34 years old at that point. And, yeah, nobody knows what he would be able to bring at that point. So, to answer your question in somewhat of a roundabout way, I do feel like if he gets that ring, maybe he does hang it up. There's obviously a lot more opportunities for him after football. He could, you know, be a businessman or philanthropist. Does a lot of great work anyway, so.
Did you imagine him being a coach? Because I can.
You know?
Not saying head coach, just the coach. Could you imagine him for some team as in like, hey, JJ, how would you like to work with the defensive coordinator and be the defensive lineman coach? As in, hey, your defensive line or defensive ends, you're going to go back in the room in a new role with a new team. Not sure what team that would be, but I think he could easily work himself up the ranks and be a defensive coordinator one day. But of course, he could do what he wants.
That's all very true. The thing about it is, great players don't always make great coaches. Obviously, coaching has so many facets to it. You obviously got to have knowledge, but you also got to be able to relate to your guys and, you know, only so many guys do that. Because, like, I would never see Peyton Manning being a head coach, despite the fact he knows the game better than just about anybody. Just because Peyton seems like, for all of his skill and all of his brains, he's just like on a whole nother level, and you just don't know how well he could work with just, you know, the average players. Definitely not with the United Way kids, if you remember that SNL skit. Spend time with your kids so Peyton Manning doesn't.
Well, what gets me, right, is you have to relate to the players, and I think there's a lot of guys that are already so skilled. It's like, hey, guys, I could do this in my sleep. What's going on? I don't understand. It's like, you got to relate to what they got. They don't have the same skill set, the genetic gifts that you do. So precisely, someone's going to have it, you know, tougher than you. But I think that's, I think when it comes to that, right, just remember, this is a position where he works, where not only do you have to have the size, because this is a size position, and then it is a more of a technique position. Yeah, there's generational talents per se. I'll give you a best example. Aaron Donald is not the biggest guy on the field, but if you go by his talent and his skill set, that's what makes him the best defensive tackle in football. That's where I kind of go with that. But we hope that JJ is well. We hope that surgery goes well. And no matter what happens on the path to JJ, I hope that everything goes well. So you ready to go into the preview of the next game quickly before we get into other topics? Because it is a juicy and we got hot takes.
Oh, yes, we do. But first things first, we're going to talk about the Rams. So we're going to be back in Houston so we can have a home version of Know the Pain.
Basically, what we had against the Cardinals, but at home.
Essentially, yes, that's what I'm saying is going to happen. Obviously, well, we've seen the Rams this year. Matthew Stafford looks completely revitalized.
Yep.
And Cooper Kupp, I am so glad I got him in my PPR league. I've been winning like Charlie Sheen. And what's really funny is that actually the first receiver I picked in that draft was Davante Adams. So Cooper Kupp wasn't even the first guy that I picked. I was like, hey, he's on the board. I think he's going to be good. Yeah, take him like the mid rounds. And I'm just like, he's the top scoring receiver in that league for me. I was like, yes.
Cooper Kupp right now is a top five, and it's not even close.
Right, that's for sure. So
I think that this is going to be like how the Rams played the Giants, except
probably.
Well, yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, the only thing is, right now, I know that Tyrod Taylor is supposed to be in practice, but the only problem that I have is if you go back to the situation, right, it was a blowout game. You had Matt Stafford, Aaron Donald, and Jalen Ramsey come out of the game, put in some substitutions. So your best players are off the field, your big money guys. You're basically just milking the clock. And they had Daniel Jones, not even a week off concussion protocol, no running back, no top three wide receivers. How come you couldn't put Mike Glennon in to, you know, save Daniel Jones a couple of hits, prevent some injury? This game was meaningless. You didn't give him time in spring training to work with those backups. Nothing. You basically just threw him out there, and the coach was saying, if we play 60 minutes a game. He was an asshat. I think if it's the fourth quarter and they pull their starters, I know Tyrod Taylor is supposed to be starting, but I think you got to give Davis Mills a couple of reps.
Yeah, I would say if the game gets out of hand, put Mills back in there. I mean, obviously, I think everybody knows this is Tyrod's job as long as he's healthy. Because, you know, there's enough faith in Tyrod to actually keep the offense respectable. Yeah. So, I would say that Cully shouldn't have the same mentality that Joe Judge did in that situation. But I'm also questioning, are we going to see a lot more of Rex Burkhead in this game or Scotty Phillips?
You know, I actually wanted to get into that after the preview game, if you don't mind, or unless you wanted to jump into that right now.
Well, that's what I was thinking, that we just sort of talk about the Rams right now and we close the show with all the trade deadline stuff. Now, Scotty Phillips, back in the preseason, he had some good showings, and I thought he was going to make the team, and then he eventually did. However, so far this season, he hasn't really been used a whole heck of a lot, which is kind of a shame.
Absolutely.
He's only appeared in one game so far this season.
I know. Terrible, right?
Yeah. I mean, for has-beens like Burkhead and whatnot to go ahead of him, I just think that's a waste. You know,
Absolutely. You're
auditioning a lot of guys, trying to see what you got. Well, I mean, here's another young guy who balled out in the preseason. You know, give him some reps.
I mean, if you go by the youngest, it is Scotty Phillips, and I think Philip Lindsay is just not used in that offense. And why? I don't know. Because if we have to go by, I understand Mark Ingram had a lot left in the tank, and he did get traded. I'll get to that in a moment. But Mark Ingram, from what everyone said, he was one of those guys. Now, in the beginning of our shows, going into how he did running backs, I said, you want veteran leadership. And this was a guy that showed up on the meetings on time, and he went through every drill, every practice. And they said he's a guy that just loves going into it 100 miles an hour, and he is a great piece to the locker room. I am happy that he has gone home. He deserves it. Thank you for your piece to the organization. And as far as the compensation goes, I don't know exactly, but was a swap of late round picks.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You're not going to get much value for running back in his 30s.
31 anymore. And you got just plenty down the depth chart. Now, mind you, with all of these guys banged up, I didn't think Ingram had the trade value that he did. I thought if you want a trade piece, you go with Philip Lindsay on a one-year deal. And he's never had that value where he's going to get – if I had to guess as far as running back money goes, I didn't want to go Christian McCaffrey money or Derrick Henry money. I was thinking towards – no, I'm saying that's a shot in the dark. I was thinking he's not going to get an Aaron Jones type contract where it's just like 4 years for 45. No. If you were to give him a contract long term, I think it would be like 2 years, 15. I would say about 9 or 10 guaranteed. He's that type of running back. I mean, the skill set is there. But as you can tell with his history and the teams he's played on, if he does not have an offensive line, how's he going to produce? And the last 3 years, this year and the last 2 years in Denver, no offensive line.
Right. I mean, no running back can overcome a terrible offensive line, at least not forever.
Not
many. I mean, Adrian Peterson in his prime, he could still probably be sufficient, but eventually, yeah, the weakness of the team was going to get to him.
Derrick Henry, and that's about it for today's league. Let's put it that way.
Tennessee's offensive line really isn't terrible. They're designed to run block, and they do so rather effectively. They just aren't great in pass protection.
Fair enough.
But anyways, I just anticipate this will be a long day for Texans defense. Maybe we'll see Grenard get another sack. Maybe Walker will get another one. Maybe Jacob Martin notches one. I imagine there will be plenty of dropbacks for Stafford. Rams run game, obviously without Cam Akers. They've kind of been patching in Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel. I don't anticipate the damage on the ground will be too severe, but you're looking at the Texans offensive line going against that Rams front. It's a mismatch. And Jalen Ramsey's been here quite a bit. He'll be locking down Brandon Cooks all day. And just,
yep.
We'll see how the targets get disseminated and who ultimately is throwing the ball. But I think this will be a long game. I'd say 38-10 for the Rams.
I was going to say, I was going to say 30-10. Yeah. I think the run game is just going to milk a lot of the clock for the Rams mostly. I don't see much of a ground game going for Houston. No. So that's why I got it. Would be more points for the Rams, but the clock would run out and they're going to eventually have to pull their starters for safety purposes. Although on a side note, just to add this, I didn't add it before, but one thing that looks bright is one of the later picks in the draft, Roy Lopez. He's looking good. He's looking good for a very late round draft pick.
Yeah, he's producing good value for where he was selected. And just mishmash of players, new system. We're just seeing what the guy's got. But
attempting
maybe him and Grenard, they could be a pretty good duo. I don't know what you just said.
I said attempting to be positive.
Yeah, we have to try.
Try as we might. So going into this, I did talk about the Ingram trade, and as far as this trade deadline goes, as we record this, it is October 28th. So we got a little bit, but the one thing that's puzzling me is we thought that the trade deadline would just be a little more, I guess you can say, active, a lot more scrambled. The only talks we've really had is Deshaun Watson. And to be honest with you, I think I speak for both of us, where I am so glad that we don't have to talk about this subject after. I mean, the trade deadline, once the trade deadline happens, we don't have to talk about this until February.
Correct.
Isn't that beautiful? That's almost like a vacation. That's 3 solid months where we don't have to talk about Deshaun and where he's getting traded. So the fact that we have about a half a week for this to get done, because November 2nd, I think it's like, it's sometime in the afternoon where all trades are officially done over with. Now, I think it should be around week 10 or 11, personally, but they're doing it right after week 8. I mean, whatever. But even so, I had predictions of Cooks going.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought he had value.
I think he does too. I think there's a decent chance he ends up on the move.
Yes, very little time to do so. But, I mean, we'll see. Another thing, I did say Tunsil, but I don't think it's looking likely anymore because there hasn't been much talk about offensive line help at all in this.
Yeah, and with his injury, I just don't think teams are going to come calling for him.
I think he's locked into staying in Houston, whether he likes it or not.
Yes.
So as far as everything else goes, I mean, Randall Cunningham, I think he's going to stay because of the contract.
Zach Cunningham. Yeah, Randall Cunningham was an Eagles quarterback from like 2 decades ago.
Great fart. My bad. But here's my prediction. The Deshaun Watson trade does not happen.
At this point, I'm hard-pressed to argue against it. Even though you've seen all the stories this week that compensation's been agreed to. But it's like Stephen Ross, he's still very adamant about this legal situation. I can't blame him for that.
But there's a way this gets resolved
just with all the civil suits and the 3 police complaints. It's just, I find it really funny that all those reports about, oh, the package has been agreed to and all that jazz. I mean, I clearly think there's mutual interest in making the move, and obviously Tua gets caught up in the middle of it, and Tua has been very up and down so far in his young career with the Dolphins.
All right, the one thing that's been, I think I could speak to all Dolphin fans, especially future Dr. Zach, who we've had on the show. And if you've looked, after Dan Marino went away, look at the 21st century, the Dolphins, and they've been one of those kind of things where it's like your ex-girlfriend, where you constantly tell them every single day, what in God's name do you want? Because if you look at it, right, does this guy know how to run a football team? Does he know how to put the people in charge? No, he does not. Does Greer, the general manager, know how to put together a football team? No, he does not. Do they know how to develop a quarterback? No, they do not. Do they know how to put the positions in place? Do they know how to put a good system? No, they do not. So what they do is they take it on the head coaches, and they keep recycling and recycling and recycling all these pieces of freaking garbage. Do you remember that they had Adam Gase as their last quarterback, and he's an absolute asshat, and he'll never coach in the NFL again because the Jets were dumbasses and they decided to hire him by himself? Do you remember that? And sure enough, Brian Flores is the replacement, and they treat him like shit. Why did they treat him like shit? Why did they do it? And you got Tua, who was the golden boy. Apparently the owner wanted him. And what do you do? That so-called golden boy that you tanked for is now your normal enemy. And the ownership is willing to take backlash about a guy who's got 23 cases of sexual assault and harassment against him to get this guy that he tanked for out of town. What garbage. What embarrassment. What a fraud. And that's not a way that you treat your fans. Garbage. There's a reason why that your franchise is an absolute freaking joke. And it's because it starts at the top. And you're trash. You are easily replaceable. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you want. And every single player that gets out of that organization is thankful. the only reason you got players to actually come to that team is to make sure that their salaries don't get taxed by the state. And that's all. Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, apparently has approved of the trade to have Deshaun Watson. However, the thing is structured. The problem being is that there's so many reports that are false, and we have no idea exactly what's true. What is the truth? What is the fancy? What is everything else? Essentially, everything is up in the air. And the fact that this is the tank for Tua prospect and has only played maybe 10 games, something around there, about a dozen games at most. This is the guy that you tanked for, the guy that you were trying to build your team around. And again, the 21st century, you've been completely irrelevant. You haven't developed a quarterback. You don't know how to pick your right head coaches. You actually got one, but you and all the fans treat them like garbage. And the thing is that's ruining Tua right now is I understand that he's tough mentally and his family's got a tough mentality. But what you're doing is the golden boy that you tanked for, that you threw everything away and trade everything away for, you're trading for a guy who may not be playing in the NFL next year because he's got 23 cases up in the air. The fact that you're willing to do that to your franchise and the fact that you're okay with that, and if that is the fact that he approved it, it just makes you wonder that he has no idea what the hell he's doing. Between the trade, what they want, and there's been teams acquiring. The Panthers were in conversation. The Eagles were in conversation. There are multiple teams in conversation about this. They're like, let's inquire. But then it's just like, oh, but here's what the Dolphins want. Oh, sorry, I'm out. Because they can't match that. That's why. If you look at the paperwork that and the terms, the prenup, however you want to put it, the void, the termination agreement, I don't think they get this done within the next couple of days. So I understand that Ingram is traded. I think Cook should have been traded by now. I don't think there's anybody else of significant value that can be traded outside Desmond King. I think that's really it, and that's because he's on a one-year deal. So I think the trade deadline for the Houston Texans is done. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's quite done. I think that Cooks will ultimately be on the move. Some team is going to offer something good for him. I really think it's going to happen, and King is a maybe. I read one Vikings blog the other day saying that they should have the Texans on speed dial right now, going for King or maybe Hargraves, some defensive back that would be of some value. So
what team?
I think we're not landing the big deal for sure. It would be a smaller one for a DB or Cooks. I still think there are teams that would be interested enough in getting receiver help.
If I had to think receiver help, I mean,
there's always rumors about the Packers and receiver help.
You know, they got Randall Cobb this year. They've barely used him. And that was a guy that Rodgers heavily liked. And I'm sorry, but this trade speculation about Odell Beckham Jr. going to the Packers for the last 3 years, give that crap a rest already. And the Packer fans don't want him. The Packers organization doesn't want anybody with an ego, and they already have two-star players speaking against the organization. That's not happening.
Yeah, Beckham's just not very good anymore. You talked about ego. I'd say Rodgers has one, though. No, but he's been there for a long time. I get that's like a little bit of an intrinsic difference.
Right? The thing is, Rodgers cares about his teammates and he cares about the team. Does he have an ego? Yes. Does Davante Adams have an ego? Yes. Because both of them have spoke highly about themselves and spoke highly against the organization. But Odell Beckham is the type of guy where the Packers are like, why can't you just play football? And he goes, nah, man, I want to talk about me. And they're going to say, go shove it.
Right.
That's just the way that they are. That's the way that they operate. Odell Beckham Jr. for nothing. is coming there. It could be a seventh round pick. It's not happening.
Yeah, it seems fair. Going through, scanning some of the other big contenders, we'd have the Rams who were set. We got the Cardinals who were set. We got the Bucks who were set. Mention the Packers, though. It's like iffy there. I saw one article mentioning the Cowboys as a possible trade destination, but I heard they might trade Gallup, so bringing Cooks doesn't make a lot of sense.
Maybe they just don't like
the other teams in the AFC. The Bills don't need him. So would you even think about the Ravens? Definitely not the Bengals. They're set with Higgins and Jamar Chase.
Let's go through the horn.
The Ravens would be an interesting idea. Obviously, you've got Hollywood Brown, who's really broken out this year. Sammy Watkins is just too unreliable anymore. Are you going to be depending on Devin Duvernay? I just don't think so on that one.
But they
another mentioned the Raiders as a possibility, and I'm like, maybe. I don't
know. The reason
so Vegas or Baltimore might be the most logical places for Cooks, maybe.
I got a couple ideas. So I'm going to go through the horn. The Cardinals I'm going to mark as no. They have too much talent there. The Ravens with Rashad Bateman not having made his barely made his debut, that's a no. The Falcons offensively, they're out. They're not trading. The Bills, that's a no. The Panthers are more concerned about quarterback, and they're not giving up picks. That's a no. The Bengals are complete no. The Bears are interesting, but they have more needs. No. The Browns got wide receivers. No. Cowboys, if you're going to trade Gallup, I mean, if you're going to make a straight-up Gallup for Cooks trade, because Gallup, I think, is on the younger side, I think maybe. But I think this one's doubtful for the Cowboys. Broncos have receivers. They need offensive line and a quarterback. No. However, you know, they're not winners by any means. But if there was a young wide receiver, like if they thought that Cooks could be there for a little bit to work back with Goff just to see where they stand, the wide receiver position was not attended to for the Lions. They could use a guy. But who? That's the question. Because they basically have Hockenson, and who else did they have? A bunch of guys you could find in the parking lot or the practice squad compared to these other teams.
Basically,
Packers.
I mean, they used a mid-round pick on Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he's had a couple decent games, but I'm not sure that he'll ever be a number one. Looks like a decent number two or a slot guy. So, yeah, Cooks to Detroit. I don't know why they would want to make the deal, but hey, why not? Stranger things have happened.
I'm saying in a perfect world, maybe something, maybe somebody would go there, but I don't see it. Colts, no. Rams, no. Jags, no. Vikings, I mean, the Vikings have two wide receivers and then everybody else. I don't know.
But what would Cooks really do for them? Does Cooks make them a contender to make a deep run? No.
I know, but Kirk Cousins, another dependable wide receiver to make sure that he doesn't choke in the clutch for the upteenth time.
I don't know. I just don't see that really happening.
Neither do I, but I'm just trying to see the possibilities. Chiefs, no. Saints, no. Raiders, we've mentioned that, but they're still trying to develop a couple of guys. I mean, kind of, yeah, but I don't think so. Giants, no. Chargers, I'm going to go no at the moment because they got a lot of stuff going on. Eagles, no. Dolphins, do they have decent wide receivers? They don't, but I don't know where they stand. 49ers, that's a no. They got plenty. Patriots, no. They got plenty. Seahawks, no. Jets, no. Bucks, no. Steelers got plenty. Washington football team? I don't see them giving up anything. And the Titans. So, if you're going to give up Cooks, the market, as much as I hate to see a wide receiver who's talented and could make a run, the compensation here is going to be cheap if he is traded.
Yeah, probably just get a third rounder, something like that in return.
It's got to be a third or a fourth rounder for potentially a rental player. But, I mean, the way that I'm looking at it, I'm still going to go off of I don't think he gets traded, personally.
I put it at maybe 50-50.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
All right, I think that about wraps up our trade deadline special. So, any final thoughts tonight?
Well, it was amazing to run against the Dolphins. I think for both teams, I do think that this is going to be a story that I'm happily ready to put on pause for the next couple of months. But I do see, I want to say, after the Deshaun trials are over, and if he is an innocent man, I see this trade where if it's one, two teams or three teams, I see this going into action pretty quickly. I want to say around March will probably take place. Enough time where we get the thing settled before we start looking at prospects for the draft.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think I've pretty much had all my stuff get out there tonight, so just remember, everybody, check us out on Twitter at Texans Talk Pod. And on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.